Welcome to Insights for Manufacturing, the podcast that supports the UK manufacturing sector. Hosted by Jeff Beecham, the manufacturer's recruiter. Welcome to Insights for Manufacturing. Today, we're going to be discussing career progression into leadership. And I'm really delighted to welcome my guest today, Michael Zajac. And Michael is currently the plant manager at Place de Valois in Northampton, an automotive injection molding business. Welcome to the show, Michael.
Hello, thank you very much. Thanks for the invitation.
You're very welcome. And the audience will not be aware of this, but you and I have known each other for about 10 years because I placed you at your current business as a project engineer round about 9.5 years ago. I really don't know where the time's gone since then. We've had Brexit and COVID and new governments and lots of changes within your business, I guess. So where's the time gone?
Well, yes, I ask this question myself every day, actually. Even today, I ask myself, where is the time going? Because 5 minutes ago, I came to work on Monday morning. and then time really flies. You know, I still remember my first months at PVL Northampton. And then I feel like it was almost a month ago, to be honest. It's been a really interesting time. There has been a lot of interesting challenges and a lot of interesting opportunities that I didn't even expect. So, you know, when I started working for PVL Northampton as a project engineer, I think at that time when you were interviewing me, I mentioned that my goal is to progress to project manager and become program manager and then kind of focus on implementation of the new products into mass production. And
yeah.
I would have never thought that I would then get opportunity to be a production manager or a plant manager at the moment.
Yeah, an amazing journey. And it does seem like only a few months ago I met you in Birmingham or Solihull. And crikey, I was going grey then. I've gone a lot greyer and white-haired now. But outside of that, it really does seem like only a short while ago that we met. And it's been great following your journey over that sort of 9.5 year period. What a whirlwind. But I know outside of your, you know, your core skills of automotive manufacturing, we'll talk about your journey at PVL in just a second, but I know also, you, because we've spoken about this before, you are extremely passionate about UK manufacturing. You've lived here for over 10 years, originally from Poland. What is it that you found is so special about UK manufacturing? And for you, you know, what does the future hold for manufacturing here in the UK?
Well, let's start with the statement that I mainly focus on, or my expertise and understanding is mainly in the area of the UK automotive market or European automotive market. I've been working in injection molding automotive for last 15 years and last 11 years in the UK.
Yeah.
So I started my career back in Poland. And what is interesting, when I was working in Poland, before I moved to the UK, I did not realize how many successful OEMs is based in UK.
Yeah.
And those OEMs are actually producing really popular models, which are really popular in Europe, you know, Nissan Qashqai or Toyota Corolla,
yep.
or the JLR cars, which are very fashionable, let's say, and then quite a few really luxurious cars, Rolls-Royce or Bentley and McLaren and so on. So this is something what I did not realize. And there's really quite a lot of automotive manufacturing happening in the UK.
Yeah.
And one of the advantages is that, you know, being in the UK makes you kind of local to all these customers.
Yeah.
So I think the relationship becomes closer because you can kind of jump in a car and between 1 and 3 hours, you can be at your customer discussing the problem or discussing yes. the project around the table,
yep.
and then kind of build this bond easier. Because when I was previously working in Poland, you know, our customers were like all over the place, all over the Europe. So in order to go to the customer, I would have to either drive 8 hours and then meet the customer next day and then drive back 8 hours, or jump in a plane and fly to one of the European countries, France or Romania, for a discussion with the customer. And this was more like the sporadic visits. And then here, I think you can really feel that kind of bond being close to your customer. I think building a relationship is a lot easier. And I think I personally believe that future of the UK automotive is quite bright. We have those big OEMs, they still have plans to build new cars in next 5 years. I'm looking at the database that has some predictions, and there is really good plans. And then obviously we are basing our strategy around those customers.
Yeah, sure.
The good things are, well, the big question mark obviously is the electrification of the automotive, but there are two gigafactories being developed in UK at the moment that are going to supply batteries to electric cars. So that actually is a sign that this UK market is developing, and there is still a lot of potential. So that makes me really passionate, because I believe being here gives me the advantage of, well, gives me a chance, let's say, of being the part of this process and then growing the company that I'm working for, the team, and then and myself, obviously. So it's a good journey.
Good.
And, I obviously search always for some good news on LinkedIn. When I have some free time, I scan through a couple of websites and people who I follow, and then mostly there is really positive news about UK manufacturing. So yes, also thank you very much for the work that you are doing in promoting UK manufacturing. That's really
you're welcome. So I mean, it's been a journey for you from project engineer, project manager, you went into production management. And now you've gone into a wider plant manager role. I guess along that sort of journey, that there's been some challenges. What have been the main sort of areas where you've needed to maybe dig a bit deeper or maybe sort of step up out of your comfort zone? And how did you overcome these sort of transitions?
Yes. Well, there was challenges, and there still are. Obviously, I've been in plant manager role for 6 months, so I'm still kind of working on them. But I think the transition from project management to production management was so far the biggest challenge, because it was also a challenge in the mindset, in my mindset mainly. You know, first of all, it was the opportunity that I never kind of anticipated that would arrive.
Yes.
But then, as it was presented in front of me, I thought, well, I'm always up for the challenge. I'll try. What can go wrong? But then I really thought that being a production manager will be like being a project manager, but managing a lot of internal projects within production and improving production. And well, I was so wrong. Seriously, it was nothing like that at the beginning.
At the beginning,
probably first 60% of my time was spent around team and people and understanding the people and then being with the team. Because when I was a project manager, I did not really have the team that was directly reporting to me. I was cross-functional team of people reporting to other managers. So now I have this team of 60 or 60 plus people, and then I need to work with them. I need to get to know them. I need to kind of be present, understand them, and then their struggles. And, you know, everybody has their opinion. And then with that, I think then I could start working on a team building activities and stabilizing the team, and then thinking, okay, what development opportunities do we have? And then slowly start introducing some improvement projects. So that step from project management to production management, I really kind of recognize as really the biggest step change, because my management style, my leadership style was really tested and then really developed thanks to that. I think I I have learned a lot, and I maturated a lot when I become the production manager. I also learned how important it is to empower your team members,
Absolutely.
to give them the project that they can own, and it's their baby. Give them a bit of guidance, but then let them manage this project. And then kind of believe in them, and give a bit of the give a bit sorry give a bit of a passion to kind of encourage them and give them that desire to implement the project that they are working on.
So a few sort of challenges there along the way, and as you say, you're always up for a challenge in developing yourself. And I suppose it is about mindset, isn't it? Sometimes you can take guidance from your seniors and people that have been there and done it before. And it's partly about skill set and learning some leadership skills, but the leadership mindset is such an important part. The theory of doing anything is one thing, but actually putting that into actions and making certain behaviors the norm for yourself when you're not used to it, it can be quite tricky. So I'm guessing along the way, and I know you've sort of recently taken over from John Hamilton, who was the previous GM there. Did you have any other sort of key mentors or supporters? I mean, I'm sure John was a really good rock to lean on. But I mean, have there been anybody else that sort of influenced your growth as a leader?
Of course, yes, there were. There was throughout the time I had a few leaders, and then I was working also with my boss's bosses. So let's say I had different examples. Let's say I had a lot of really good examples, and I had also some examples that I really did not think that those were the best examples to lead the team. And then I think I will not obviously be mentioning names, but out of those examples or experiences that I had throughout last 15 or 16 years, actually, of my career, I think I kind of created some sort of combination of the management style, almost like a jigsaw, how I would like my management style look like, what did I like in the behavior or style of this boss, or what did I like or didn't like maybe, and I don't want to do that anymore, or I don't want to make similar mistakes. So I think my style is a bit of a mixture of everything. Obviously, John was my boss for last almost 10 years, and he had really big influence on me. I've been with PVL for such a long time, to be honest. When I started with PVL, I also did not think I will be here for such a long time. I thought, at that time I thought the there, at that time we people were talking about the American career style, where you stay somewhere for 3 to 5 years and then you move on. But it's not exactly my style, to be completely honest, because I also get the bond with the team, and I kind of like people, and I like working with those people and see their potential. So I changed that way of thinking as well. I don't think changing the job every 3 or 5 years is the best way to progress with your career, and I think I'm an example of that as well. If I look at myself 10 years ago, I think I was quite a different person, and I was a lot more hot-headed, and working with John, I maturated a lot. I had really good kind of leadership from John, and then a lot of good examples from him. And even now, I sit in his office because this is how I feel sometimes. And I think, well, what would John do? But then when I was working also in NIFCO, because I used to work in NIFCO when I was in Poland, I had not my my boss, well, not directly, but the big influence on me at Mike Matthews. He used to be a NIFCO UK managing director.
Okay, yeah.
And his passion and charisma really encouraged me. So I'm pretty sure he had huge influence on me as well. And so,
yeah. It's good to have good people around you when you're on that sort of journey. So in your opinion then, based on, you know, your own experience, for any sort of team members or people in manufacturing who might have aspirations to, you know, to grow into a sort of leadership role, whether that's, you know, from shop floor into supervision, or from, you know, engineering into a manager role, or manager into a senior manager role, what sort of skills do you believe are, you know, really essential to help you on that sort of leadership journey?
I think by far the most important skill is ability to reflect and self-reflect.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I kind of look at my actions or decisions all the time, and I always try to reflect on those. And whether the decision was successful or not successful, if it was a failure, I think the reflection from both can benefit, because the examples from those successes can be then transferred over as lessons learned to avoid the failure to happen again in future. So I think it is really important to be able to reflect on myself.
Yeah.
And I kind of learned that when I was working for NIFCO, who is a Japanese company. It was really quite impressive how much kind of reflection they do over their actions and projects. And they had something what we were calling reflection meeting. So at the end of the project, you know, we would meet in the meeting room and then discuss, okay, what parts of this project went okay?
Yep.
And then how do we maybe transfer those into our standard for future? And then what parts of the project did not go so well?
Yeah.
And then why did they happen and how to avoid them again? So this is probably something what is the key skill for any leader, for any person who wants to develop.
Yeah.
So the self-reflection. But I think it is also really important to be confident and then show confidence in front of the team. And I kind of always compare it to the captain on a boat. I'm a sailor.
Yes.
And then if you are a captain or department manager, even when you doubt whether the decision is right or wrong or what tomorrow will bring, I think it is really important not to show this doubt to your team. So the confidence is really important. But there are obviously also some times when you need to be prepared to participate in a difficult discussion or lead a difficult discussion or take a difficult decision. You know, sometimes I talk to my colleagues from work and I say, look, don't be afraid to be difficult. It's okay to be difficult, and then do not take no for the first answer. Like sometimes you will just get no. Why no? Well, tell me. I'm sorry. I want to understand. And when I understand, then fine. But sometimes you will just get no because, you know, maybe somebody didn't analyze the situation deeply enough. So there are these times when, and they are not, those are not comfortable times when you kind of need to be difficult. But again, with self-reflection, and I think maintaining respectful communication, respectful and honest communication is really important, because you can be direct and you can be difficult in a respectful way without making somebody feel like they are a failure. It's not the point. The point is, okay, there is a problem and then we need to find the solution to that. But do not make the person to feel bad about it. Like more like empower and encourage them. Like, look, we can find a way out of it. That's my thinking. You know, when I was a teenager, I saw this TV show. It was like a talk show on TV, and there was this Polish general, and he was like British SAS forces. So he was the general, Polish style of SAS, let's say. And he said, "Well, I need to be direct with these guys. I need to train them. But at the end of the day, when we are at the battlefield, I also need to make sure they will have my back, and they will not, you know, shoot me in the back." So I think this is how it works. And I hope I've been achieving that. But really important is to be with the team and talk to people, and I think treat everybody equal. It is absolutely a key. You know, everybody is the same. There is no difference. We are all in the same company. We all have the same goal, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, there's many levels of leadership and so many complex situations you have to navigate as a leader, no matter where you are in the organization, you know, as a leader, manager, director, whatever it might be. You know, you've got to balance the needs of the business with the you know, the sort of needs and thoughts of the team as well, you know, because without a team, a leader's got nothing, you know. So it's a difficult balance, isn't it? And you seem to navigate it well.
Yes. It's really important, I think, to understand that, you know, we are here thanks to these guys.
Yes.
And it's not that they are there for us. It's kind of like we are one team. And I do not hesitate to go at any time on shop floor and, you know, get my hands dirty and then look into the tool, or, you know, and try to understand what the problem there is. Anybody can come over to my office, or anybody can approach me when I'm on shop floor. And I'm trying to be there really often. Like, I try to be there every day, a couple of times.
Yeah.
Because I think it is important that we can have this direct communication. And then thanks to that, I can also learn, you know, who do we have in the team,
and
what sort of ideas people have. And that's important.
So in terms of, I mean, in your experience, Michael, when it comes to sort of supporting and nurturing talent within your teams, how do you think other leaders, and in particular, people that are maybe early on in their supervisory or leadership journey, how can they better support and nurture talent?
Well, I think this is really, really important topic. And I think this is the topic that needs to be really promoted, because I think we are heading towards the times, if we are not in those already, where we have the a skill gap, let's say,
yes,
in manufacturing and then technical skills. I think everybody is feeling that, everybody who I talk to.
Yeah.
So nurturing talent, spotting the talent is absolutely important, and developing this talent within the team. And then this is also part of the team building activity, I think, because we kind of develop the team of people who kind of appreciate what we are doing here. We are building the loyal team. We know we can count on each other. So we do have a few examples of internal promotions in PVL, you know, and we also have some really good examples where somebody started in a factory working as an operator, and then through the time they have been noticed and observed and developed, and then some of them are shift leaders now, some of them work in the office, and then have new challenges. And I think the key to really succeed with that is again to know your team and then be there and see who has the potential, who has the desire, who comes with the ideas. And you know, when the opportunity happens, and even if that person maybe doesn't have those specific skills, but they have the passion and they have desire, and you know, they stand out, you know, the skills can be addressed through the training and guidance.
Yes.
So that's how I've been always looking at things, like how do we develop the talent? And we have been doing this here, and there is multiple examples, including myself, really.
Yeah.
Because like I told you when I started here, I would never expect to be sitting in that chair. I thought this will maybe happen in like 10 years from now, but not 10 years since I started working.
Yeah, yeah. Wonderful. And yeah. So if there are people maybe listening or watching this podcast who, you know, might be considering stepping into a leadership role, what would be the best piece of advice you could give them?
Well, I think I kind of covered this in previous questions, but well, I think what I mentioned is, you know, reflect and self-reflect, really.
Yeah.
on yourself and on actions and projects, and then think how to improve those failures if they happen. But then what I learned and what kind of gives me energy every day is to be with the team.
Yeah.
And then talk to people. I don't think I would be able to work from home, to be honest. I would be really missing the interaction.
Yes.
And
yeah.
And you know, there are serious discussions. We are obviously a business. We are trying to achieve results, but there needs to be a little bit of this kind of social aspect where you kind of know everybody, and then you can talk freely, and sometimes there is a bit of banter, which we can also laugh about. And I think this builds the strong team that people can
yeah.
trust each other.
Yeah.
And then what makes people feel comfortable, I hope. So this would be sort of my advices. I think one important thing to consider is like when you are going for internal promotion, there might be this strange feeling or a challenge when you suddenly become a leader or a manager of people who were your colleagues previously.
Yes, yeah.
And well, it happened to me a couple of times in my career, and then sometimes it feels like, well, hello, it's Michael, do you remember me? I'm your new boss.
Yeah.
And then you don't know how it will go. So far it goes well, and you know, I've been always following those kind of rules which I mentioned earlier.
Yes.
So I am really happy with the team that I'm working with. I think it's a group of passionate people who want to deliver goals, and
yeah,
you know, there are up and downs as in every team, but overall I think it's a positive.
Fantastic. So, I mean, what a fantastic journey you've been on, and no doubt, you know, you're only part way through. So, you know, I'm going to be doing this work for the next probably 10 or 15 years. So I will, you know, continue to watch you from the sidelines. And yeah, it does give me a great sense of satisfaction, I suppose, pride, achievement, you know, knowing that, you know, there are people out there that I place in businesses at different levels. You know, these days it's usually, you know, managerial and executive people. But, you know, to be talking to an individual that I placed nearly 10 years ago, you aren't the only one, I hasten to add. But, you know, people don't tend to have that much longevity. People do move around quite a bit. So to talk to somebody who's still in the same business that I placed them in, you know, nearly 10 years later is just a great feeling, you know, and everything that you wanted out of that opportunity in the first place happened, and then more and then more. So it really is a wonderful discussion to be having with you, Michael. And I was just going to ask, really, to round off our sort of podcast conversation today, you know, what's in the pipeline, you know, moving forward, you know, over the next sort of 6 to 12 months at Place de Valois, Northampton, you know, what sort of opportunities and challenges are in the melting pot?
Well, I think there is quite a lot of opportunities based on the fact that the OEMs in UK automotive are planning new cars to be developed.
Yeah.
We are already working on some new projects. We are working on developing our relationship with those customers as well. And I think, you know, having the passionate team that we are, a team that wants to kind of succeed and then achieve goals further and further is one of the bases. And as a part of the group, we can offer to the customers like really complex service where we can start from the innovation or R&D and then develop the product, then do the industrialization and to mass production. And we can offer quite complex parts, injection molded, decorated and assembled. So the group has quite a lot to offer as well. And I'm really looking forward to the future and see what it will bring, because I just hope we will develop the business that we have at the moment. And I think that we have really good chances to do that. You know, our main customers that we've been working with, we have been achieving top level quality results with them. And
Fantastic.
yes, I'm really proud of that, to be completely honest. All top level, all top customers that we have, we have the grade one or top level scores. And we also try to think outside of the box, looking at the production efficiency. We do quite a lot of in-house improvements in-house, and then I think those are the challenges, you know, like what sort of productivities we can implement in our manufacturing process in order to make it more efficient, more lean, at the same time supplying good quality product to our customer and then keeping our customers satisfied. So to be honest, I see more opportunities than challenges. But I think by nature a positive person. So I prefer to look at the future as what opportunities it brings. And well, I think challenge will always be there. You know, it will be one form or another. And then this is just something to overcome. And it's part of being in a team, and it's part of being a leader, where you embrace the challenge and encourage the change.
Yeah, absolutely. You're all in it together, and you know, it sounds like you've got a really cohesive team there at PVL Northampton. So I'd just like to, you know, to thank you first of all for coming on to Insights for Manufacturing to share
Thanks.
some of your experiences and some of your leadership journey. Yeah, we just wish to, you know, like to wish you all the very best for the future. And I'm sure we'll talk again at the next major milestone for you, but whatever that might be. Thank you very much for joining me, Michael.
Thank you very much for the invitation, Jeff. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. So that brings us to the end of another episode of Insights for Manufacturing. Thanks to the audience for listening in or watching, and we'll see you next time. Thank you very much, and bye-bye.